Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 54 degrees in light rain and mist. It's Tuesday, August 28th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. It is primary election day in Alaska. The polls are now open in Sitka, and all of the precincts are located at Harrigan Centennial Hall. Sitka reduced the number of voting precincts from 4 to 2 and put them both in Centennial Hall downtown. Voters today will be asked to take a Republican ballot or a Democratic ballot. On it, they'll find a contest for the U.S. House. 3 GOP candidates and 5 Democrats are seeking their party's nomination to Congress. Both party ballots carry statewide proposals. Ballot Measure 1 would allow local governments to raise their property tax exemptions. Ballot Measure 2 would reestablish a coastal management program. The ballot also includes uncontested party races for the Alaska legislature. You can read and hear reports on the candidates and ballot proposals. They're available on our website, kcaw.org. Raven Radio will also bring you election results tonight. The latest numbers will be broadcast during breaks in this evening's live broadcast of the assembly meeting. After the assembly meeting, reporters will give 5-minute updates from Anchorage at the top of each hour until midnight. Today's primary election may confuse some Southeast voters. That's because legislative boundaries have changed, in some cases shifting candidates and communities. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld explained some of the major alterations.
Let's start at the northern end of Southeast. Under redistricting, Yakutat voters are part of a House district stretching west through Prince William Sound to Kodiak. The northern Southeast Communities Senate district goes further, all the way to Dillingham on Bristol Bay. For years, the town has been in Southeast-based legislative districts stretching down to Prince of Wales Island and a few points south. Now, let's move to the southern end of the panhandle. Metlakatla now shares a district with Sitka, plus a number of villages and small cities that, till now, largely stood in a house district of their own. Around the region's center is Petersburg. Residents have been politically linked to Sitka, Wrangell, and Ketchikan for years, but the new boundaries, which Petersburg strongly protested, make it part of a Juneau district that also includes Gustavus, Tenneke, and Skagway. Those towns also switched from another district. Ketchikan is still the dominant community in its districts, though the House seat adds Wrangell. Likewise, Sitka is its House district's largest community, but that district has lost Petersburg and gained more than a dozen villages and small cities. If you've got that all figured out, note that the official names have also changed. Southeast House districts used to be 1 through 5, now they're 31 through 34. Southeast Senate districts used to be A, B, and C. Now, they're P and Q. And if you notice the number of seats doesn't add up, you're right. Southeast lost 1 House and 1 Senate seat in the redistricting process. That will leave it with 6 instead of 8 people in the legislature. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Sitka, which is now in House District 34 and Senate District Q.
You can find a district boundary map and a list of communities in each district on our website, kcaw.org. It also includes the candidates for each district. At its regular meeting tonight, the Sitka Assembly will discuss what to do with the Old City Shops property. In April, a group of 70 people participated in an economic forum put on by the Sitka Economic Development Association, or SEDA. They voted on various ideas to improve Sitka's economy, and the most votes went to the issue of affordable housing. That came 6 years after voters approved the idea of establishing affordable housing on the Old City Shops property in the 1400 block of Halibut Point Road. SEDA is hoping that tonight the Assembly will give it some direction as to how to do that. Options include selling land to the highest bidder, requesting proposals for development of the property, or working with the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation's tax credit and grant programs. In a memo to the Assembly, SEDA Executive Director Gary White says he's open to other options, too. The meeting begins at 6 p.m. inside Harrigan Centennial Hall. Raven Radio will provide live coverage. The head of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service came to Sitka over the weekend to hear concerns about sea otters. The marine mammals are protected by federal law, but Alaska natives are allowed to hunt them. Some of them say the regulations on what they can do with otter pelts are confusing and have led to scrapes with the law. Meanwhile, commercial fishermen who dive for shellfish in Southeast say expanding otter populations are wiping out their fisheries. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
Around the table on Saturday sat dive fishermen, native otter hunters, and local artists who use otter pelts. And in the middle of the group was Dan Ash, the director of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He heard stories like this one.
7 years, thinking I was going to go to prison. As you guys told me, I broke the law because I put a zipper in my coat. And I put two snaps in my hat. And for 7 years, I was scared to death.
That's Boyd Diedrichson, and he's talking about something that happened in the 1980s. Federal agents seized a parka and a hat that he had made out of sea otter pelts. Diedrichson added a metal zipper to the parka and metal snaps to the hat, and because of that, the government said it did not qualify as traditional and as a result could not be sold. A federal judge in Anchorage ended up ruling in Diedrichson's favor by saying the government misinterpreted its own rules.
You busted me 3 times on 3 things. And I won every case. It's just that it's significantly altered. I know what that means.
But Diedrichson and the others said not everyone does. He said a lot of ambiguity remains, especially when it comes to different federal agents having a different take on what counts as significantly altered in an otter pelt.
It comes up all the time because it's not clearly defined.
Mike Miller is on the Sitka Tribe of Alaska's Tribal Council. He's also on its Marine Mammal Commission.
And that causes a lot of angst because one person's interpretation from another's is going to be different.
In addition to ambiguity, some also felt that the government's enforcement methods were too heavy-handed. Wade Martin, who hunts sea otters and is also on the tribal council, said the enforcement methods are like a witch hunt and that they discourage him from hunting otter. During a break in the meeting, Ash told reporters that he understood the frustration. Changes, he said, will come, but they will come over time.
Yeah, I think there is some common ground here, and I think the key is to try to make a step forward and not try to bite off too much. And
one idea is to have a workshop on new regulations where stakeholders get together and make sure that they're clear on the meanings. Ash said it would be a good way to reach clarity on some of the government's definitions.
Significantly altered, as you heard, coastal dwelling people, mass production. There are some key terms that I think that we can bring some clarity to, and hopefully that's a step forward and a platform from which then we can build trust and strengthen our relationships and then go forward from there.
The other main area of concern at Saturday's meeting was about population. Sea otters were vanquished from southeast Alaska by fur traders in the 18th and 19th centuries. In the late 1960s, they were reintroduced. The population took off about 20 years later, and it continues to grow. Dive fishermen go for the same things otters eat. Urchins, sea cucumbers, gooey ducks, just for example. But lately, says dive fisherman Larry Traney, the otters are winning.
On the gooey ducks, it's just totally amazing to think of this gooey duck bed that can go from here to the fuel tanks over here. And you swim on that area, and you have wall-to-wall craters. It looks like a bombing range. Mm-hmm. It's just absolutely amazing that they're that active.
That otters are feasting on local shellfish is also a concern for subsistence gatherers. Again, Wade Martin from the Sitka Tribe of Alaska's Tribal Council.
Our people used to say when the tide is out, our table is set. Now when the tide is out, we have nothing but a shell bed down the bottom. We need to protect our resources.
Part of the meeting ended up closed to reporters. That's because there appeared to be some confusion on Saturday about whose meeting it was. The Fish and Wildlife Service made the visit at the request of Senator Lisa Murkowski, but Murkowski's office said it was up to Fish and Wildlife about whether the meeting was open to the public. The Sitka Tribe hosted the event at its community house, although the tribe didn't say it was the organizer of the meetings either. In the end, reporters were allowed to listen to the first part of the gathering, which was a general discussion of issues, but a subsequent conversation where individual otter hunters and craftsmen talked about their specific experiences with law enforcement was closed to news media. Afterward, Miller from the Sitka Tribe said he thought the time was well spent on Saturday and that he appreciated that Ash took time to visit and that the congressional delegation is paying attention to the issues. But he stopped short of calling it a success. That, he says, will depend on what changes, if any, come as a result. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
The sea ice in the Arctic has melted back to a new record. The National Snow and Ice Data Center said on Sunday that their satellite could see the smallest amount of ice in 30 years of observation. At a news teleconference Monday, senior scientist Claire Parkinson of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration's Goddard Space Flight Center said the sea ice withdrawal this year is even more surprising than the one in 2007.
That was a gigantic decrease from previous years. All of us who had been working on sea ice studies for a long time were just stunned at how much of a decrease that was. Fortunately, in the subsequent couple of years, it went up a little bit. However, this year, it's plummeting.
The reason for the abrupt decline this summer is an uncommonly big storm that blew into the Arctic from the coast of Alaska on August 5th. The storm ripped up the relatively thin sea ice that had formed the winter before. Research scientist Walt Meyer says the effect of the storm would not have been so dramatic had the ice been thicker.
It used to be the Arctic ice cover was kind of like a big block of ice. And so it would melt a little bit from the edges, but it was pretty solid. And now it's become kind of like crushed ice. And that's a lot easier to melt and melt more quickly. It's almost like at least parts of the Arctic have become like a giant slushy.
The Arctic ice pack will likely continue to melt through the first half of September. You can see a visualization of the diminished sea ice on our website, kcaw.org. And Anchorage police suspect some people are stealing outboard engines from boats and reselling them on the internet. Police say about 25 thefts have occurred since May in Anchorage and Eagle River. Once advertised on the internet sales sites, prospective buyers meet up with a seller, usually a woman, in a public parking lot to make the exchange. Police say in a statement the motors being sold are typically smaller units known as kickers. Sun weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for rain diminishing, highs around 58, south winds 10 miles per hour becoming northwest in the afternoon. Tomorrow, partly cloudy in the morning, then becoming sunny, highs around 61. This is KCAW in Sitka.